And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity we have to pray. Thank you for your word and its promises. Lord, I pray for your blessing on our time together tonight. Thank you for all you provide for us and what you'll do in answer to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And, you know, as you think about God's plan, God's will, God's ways, there is an aspect, what I would call God's sovereign plan. It will happen. Okay? Period. Okay? There's no question on that. But then when we speak about God's will in the world, which is not necessarily different, but it's important to realize that it's not static in the sense of set in stone, so whatever will be. And I say it in this way, that God's will in this world is connected with his relationship with us and the prayers that we pray. Now you say, well, God probably all knows when you're going to pray and when you're not going to pray. And, you could say yes, and I would understand that. But I think there's something here that I think we need to know that, you know, we'll let God figure out how those fit together in his sovereign plan and, you know, the free will of man and all that kind of stuff. But there is something that I think we all know that we can all believe that by God's sovereign plan, therefore, we know that he will work all things together for good. That's a biblical truth. We know that is a fact. That's because he's sovereign. He's in control. And at the same time, we know that he does answer prayer and he can move mountains to make it so. That's also a Bible truth. And it's in answer to prayer that he moves that mountain. And so both of those, to me, whether it's his sovereign plan or God working in response to the prayers of his people doing his will in this world, I think that lies at the foundation of earnest and believing prayer. Both of those are definitely true. And so from this passage, just some thoughts about believing prayer. As it begins there in verse 14, I'm going to call it just two simple points, the confidence that God hears you. And this is the confidence. We are certain, we're sure about this thing. In fact, the concept of confidence there is open. I could talk about this all the time, is almost what he's saying here. This is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it's almost like God says, you got to have this preconceived notion when you go to prayer. God will always hear what you have to say. Always. And if you're wondering that, then we need to step back and go back to this verse. You can be confident that whenever we ask, God will hear. And so there's plenty of things. I'll just read these, John 14, 13, and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, Jesus speaking here, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Of course, these are all familiar verses. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So those are both wonderful promises. Mark 11, 24. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Okay, so God says, this is believe me. Jeremiah 33, 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So he said, I want you to call. I want you to talk to me. I want you to pray. So prayer is still the means by which, really in a very real sense, that God does his work in this world based on answers to prayer. I read some other things here this recently, and prayer is not a cry that God fulfill your will, but his will. And this one struck me. It says, Jesus' example to us in his prayer was thy will be done, not thy will be changed. I thought that's sometimes how, Lord, this seems how you're doing. I want you to do it this way. And so the center, the heart of our motivation to pray is that God be honored, that God's will be done in this world. And I think that's really a key issue that a self-centered world, maybe it's always been that problem, but it just seems, technology has allowed the self-centered heart to manifest itself in new ways. And that's where we get a lot of what's going on today. But self-centeredness has never, it's always been there with the human heart. But again, that we want God's cause to be advanced in this world. We want his honor. And so that's why it says here, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's our confidence. So I just simple thoughts here. That can be a promise from God's word, something as we've been looking at from David there in the covenant promise God made with him. It's just something very specific. And that applies over into your situation. I remember one time when Yvonne was speaking about her sister and seeing Yvette come to know Christ. And I said, well, you know what? Jesus said that remember the parable about the strong man? And if someone stronger come in and bind the strong man, then he can, spoil his goods. And I said, what that picture is someone getting saved. I said, you need to pray that Jesus would bind the strong man that would hinder what's ever hindering Yvette's mind and heart from responding to the gospel. Ask God to bind that so that Jesus come in and take away the goods. The goods are the souls of men. I said, just pray that to God. Because that's a promise God's given. So sometimes it's a promise, and then sometimes it's a more general principle. Maybe you can't think of a direct promise of Scripture, but you know some principles, some ideas. I mean, when you pray for the lost souls, is that God's will? Yeah, we know that is, and there's several passages that speak of that. I thought about the influence of God upon people you know, whether saved or unsaved. You know, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants. And that can be applied to a boss, that can be applied to a judge, that can be applied to any of the Lord. You said they're in your hands. So there's a principle there. And obviously glorifying his name. And then, so it's promises from God's word, principles from God's word. And then I also thought about, also the prompting from God's spirit. Those can all be God's will. God's will is a promise. God's word is a principle from his word. And the prompting of God's spirit, what I mean by that is taking those promises or principles and applying to your life. And so that's why I say that God's will can be the prompting of his spirit. So as you walk with God, as you share your heart with God, as you listen, as I talked about on Sunday, listen to what God has to say for you, then and he applies truth to your life and say, God, that's what you put upon my heart. Now, there's times where you have to be a little more cautious with that as far as definitively God's will, but I think it's pretty solid. And so pray with confidence that God will do it. And so be confident that when you pray, God's ear is listening. God is hearing you. And so that's really in verse 15. As you come with reverence and worship and adoration of him, then God says, okay, I'm listening. And I think at times, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you put God first, God says, I'm going to take care of your needs. But it doesn't say, then you pray and I'll take care of your needs. I think God's just saying, put me first and I'll take care of your needs. And part of that is, I think, is not that you don't pray for your needs, okay? But just saying, Lord, I want your glory. I really want you to manifest that. And it's so easy to get away from that, especially with all the problems in this world. And so that's the first thing. Is this the confidence that God will hear you? And then verse 15, the assurance that God will answer. Okay? So God wants you to approach the throne of grace with the belief that your petitions will be answered. You'll receive the petitions that we desired of him. That's your asking, your request that you make, that you ask God for. I was thinking about this, along this line. If you had a friend, and you went to that friend and said, hey, could you help me do such and such? And that friend responded, said, sure, what time? And you said, okay, about this time and this day. And he says, yes, I will be there. At that moment, if it's a good friend, you think, okay, well, hey, I got some help. So when you come to that day, you know your friend will be there. You don't have any question unless, earthquake or, flat tire, whatever it happens to be. But they're going to be there. See, how do you know that? Because you had a will, you had a desire, and so you asked your friend. And when they said yes, all of a sudden, their desire, according to their word, according to their will, your will and their will, it came together. It was one. So you knew they were going to be there because you both were thinking the same way. So when God makes a promise, and you sort of, in a sense, and this maybe switches it around a little bit, but when you agree with what he's going to do, then his will and your will, they all of a sudden coordinate. You know what? You should be as certain that God's going to answer that prayer as your friend is that he's going to help you. God just says, hey, our wills are coordinated. Because what you want is what I want, because I've told you my word what I want, and when you agree with that and you want that done, you know what? I'm going to do it because I promised you. I give you a principle. I put it on your heart through my spirit. And so let's go to God knowing that we have the petitions that we desired of him.